I know Pastor Kyle's not here, but I know you'll do this for me. Thank him for giving us the opportunity to be here with you. Sister Hannah's daughter did so much, I think probably about all the legwork to take care of us, and I appreciate all she did for us. Thank you so much. And all the people. Yeah, go ahead. You guys know how she is, don't you? And all these guys that are taking care of me today, I think I might just have them travel with me. That's wonderful. So it's really good to be here, good to be with this beautiful church. And I've got to say today that it's important that you understand how the apostolic church works. This church that we are a part of today is not man's design. So we don't have personal agendas. We don't even speak for ourselves. We don't have a personal agenda that we're trying to get forwarded. You guys are going to have to calm down. You're getting a little wound up when the word comes. It's not about our personal agendas. When we speak to you, we are speaking for Jesus. So I'm not here representing myself or representing anything I'm trying to push. I'm here today to speak for Jesus Christ. That's who I'm speaking for today. So for people that are rebellious, look out. And for people that are tuned in and obedient, you're going to enjoy this. You may be seated. I'm not sure what your traditions are, but I think you guys have been standing long enough, so you might as well be seated. I want to give you just a little bit of insight into the New Testament before we go to our scripture reading for today. Real briefly, the Apostle Paul, in his writing, said that the church, he's not referring to a building. When Paul talks about the church, Paul's talking about people. Paul said that the church is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, we are the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. So we are, in essence, and when you really look into it deeply, the church is the literal, we could say this, we are now the Holy of Holies. Remember in the old tabernacle plan, the old temple plan, you walk into the outer court, then you walk into the tent, as far as the tabernacle, there was two rooms. The first room was the holy place, and the last one behind the veil was the most holy or the holiest place, the Holy of Holies. And in study of Paul's word usage in the Greek, when he speaks to us as being the temple, he's not just talking about the whole property. He's actually referring to behind the veil spot, the Holy of Holies. So that's what we are, church. We are the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. So wherever we are, that's where the church is. If we use a school auditorium, that's the church, because we're together. If we're out and about in this community, When we gather together, no matter where, that's where the church is. Wherever we are, when we go to work, that's the church. The church has gone to work. The church has gone to school, has gone shopping at Walmart. That's the church. And I'm so thankful that I understand that. So with that said, what I want to do this morning is I want us to go back into what we call the Old Testament writings. I want to go back to the book of Haggai. Now that's a book that is not really easy to find because it's just, in a lot of Bibles, it's a couple of pages. If you have an electronic Bible, you're in good shape. All you do is punch a couple of buttons. Click a couple of little links there and you'll be to Haggai. I want to go to the very first chapter. Haggai, the first chapter. I have no prior knowledge of anybody here in this building today. No one has filled me in or informed me about any situations at all that's here. But I will tell you this. There are some folks that need to pay attention to what God wants to speak to you. Book of Haggai, chapter 1. Haggai is a prophet. Haggai, chapter 1, it said, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord. Notice this. The word of the Lord came how? By Haggai. Oh, that's just a man. Wait a minute, you have to be really careful. The word of God came by the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. And here's what the word of the Lord said. Verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, in other words, the nation of Israel says, I will give you the setting of this in just a moment. This people say, this nation of Israel, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. In other words, we would say maybe today, it's not time to build the house. Well, the setting of this story is the nation of Israel had been carried away to Babylon. Prior to their carrying away, the enemy had come in and destroyed Solomon's temple. It was totally destroyed, pulled down, burned with fire. The whole city was destroyed with fire. The walls were torn down, pushed down, everything was burned up. The place lay in total destruction. And does anybody remember why this happened? Because the people had turned their back on God. So the city was destroyed, their religious center, we'll call it. The place called the temple, Solomon's temple in all of its beauty, where the priests worked and the high priest worked and sacrifices were taken, where the Spirit of God dwelt behind the curtain, all of it was destroyed. That was the Old Testament. It was totally destroyed. And I want us to bring the principles to us, to the New Testament church. That city and that place and that temple was destroyed and the people were carried off. But 70 years later, God allowed a remnant of the people to come back and they rebuilt the walls. And let me give you a little information about this temple situation. When they came back, they decided to go ahead and start building the temple. Well, when they did, They worked for a couple of years in getting things together, getting the way it appears is they may have cleared the foundation and maybe got a few things arranged in the foundation, and then something happened. And something that always happens when you work on your spiritual center. Something that always happens. I've never seen a new convert that didn't have this happen to them. The moment you decide to put God first, everything breaks loose. Everything. The devil uses himself and he uses people to do anything he can to discourage you, to block you, to keep you from doing this thing called putting God first. Our good brother said the Lord was talking to him this morning. I was thinking, wow, God's talking to both of us on the same message. We better put God first. We have to put God first. But the problem with putting God first is you're going to have to fight to put God first. Because if you're not willing to fight to put God first, then all the opposition that comes to you will turn you around, will shut you down, and will cause you just to work on your stuff and forget about my spiritual life. Please hear me today. There are people sitting in this congregation today that started out a long time ago serving God, and you had put him first. But the problem is that all the opposition over the years has gotten you to a place of silence and pew sitting, chair sitting, leaving it up to somebody else, because every time you try to put your foot forward and say, God, I'm going to put you first, and bam, you get hit by this, and bam, you get hit by that, and the next thing you know, another thing hits you, and you say, wait a minute, I'm just trying to serve God. I'm just trying to do what he called me to do. What's all this opposition? I'll tell you what it is. It's the adversary knows that if you ever keep him first, there is no hope for the devil's power, because there's a greater power in putting God first. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can't love God and love the world. You can't love God and love money. You're going to serve one or the other. Somebody said, well, am I not supposed to be worried about what's going on with me? Well, what did the scripture say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he said, I'll add the stuff to you that you already need. Hey, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with us when we think we have to control everything, when Jesus has already said, go ahead and put me first and watch what I can do. Watch what I can put together. Watch what I can make happen for you. I'll tell you what, I've never seen it where somebody gets the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and then the next 6 years, nothing bad happens to them. It is quite the opposite. And there are many of you in this room today that are going through exactly what I'm talking about, and you better just get a hold of yourself and shake yourself and realize that even though the devil comes against the child of God and allows the circumstances to come against us, that doesn't mean it's time to quit. That means it's time to get your faith up some more. That's when you say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and put one foot in front of the other. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's in me. There's a greater power inside of me. Oh, no, Jesus did not destroy the devil. He's still here.
but he did destroy the works of the devil for a child of God who's going to walk in the Spirit. Is there somebody today that's willing to get up off of your seat, not necessarily physically, but you're willing to get up off your seat and say, I'm not going to sit down just because I got a little discouragement going on inside of my spirit, but I'm going to rise up, not in the power of the flesh, but I'm going to rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to walk no matter what happens. No matter what happens, I'm going to walk. Come on, sir. God called you many years ago to do something for him, and you're just sitting and you're just pouting. Come on, ma'am. God worked with you a few years ago and gave you a faith. But what happened to you when the opposition came, when your family came against you? Why are you still sitting there just coming every week and not ever doing what God called you to do? Come on, young person. God spoke to you. God has talked to you and said, I'm calling you to do something for me. And about that time, all your friends look at you like you're an idiot. Hey, and people look around and they say, oh, I'm going to be doing this with my life, and I'm going to be doing that with my life. And they say, what are you going to do with your life? I'm going to be famous, and I'm going to be rich, and I'm going to do this. And what are you going to do? Well, I got a call of God on my life. Yeah, about that exciting right there. So about that time, what is it that happens to us? We sit down, we shut up, we don't express ourselves anymore because we're going to look like the fool. I'm saying, young man, young lady, young person, why don't you just get back on your feet again? Why don't you say, hey, I'm not worried about the money, and I'm not worried about the prestige, and I'm not worried about getting famous. What I'm worrying about is God speaking to me and me being obedient under the call of God in my life. I refuse to sit down. I refuse to sit down and shut up just because I have opposition. Well, you see, that's what happened to Israel. You can read about it in your own time. When you leave today, you can go into the book of Ezra. It's a companion book to Haggai. But just briefly, in the book of Ezra, there was opposition that came against them when they decided to build the temple. When they decided to build the temple and were getting the things around, it only lasted for just, I think, around a couple of years. And then all the opposition, then everybody that came against them, they finally said, well, maybe it's not time. One of the greatest mistakes that can be made by us is that we equate what we're doing for God based upon everybody's opinion. Stop basing what you do for God off of everybody's opinion. Everybody's opinion isn't going to get the work of God done. This church was not put together by the opinion of men, and this church was not put together by the might and the money of men, but it was put together by Jesus Christ himself. And believe me, if he speaks a word, he'll make everything turn just to bring the word of God to pass. So after a couple of years, here we go. They just said, well, forget it. It's not the time. And so, listen to me now. This is one you got to really sink in. Let's sink in here. So they decided to stop building the temple, and they didn't do anything for 14 years. 14. They decided that the spiritual center of Israel wasn't important because of opposition. Because everybody didn't just say, well, go ahead, have your way. Please, I beg of somebody in this room today, you're going to have to shake yourself. Yourself. Now, I know that God could show me who you are and I could just walk down and shake you. That wouldn't get a whole lot done. About the only thing out of that might be a black eye for me. What you shaking me for? But I'm telling you, let the word of God get past your ears. And let the word of God get past just your brain and get down into your heart. God's trying to get through to somebody that you'll shake yourself and say, I now understand every time I make a step for God and I'm going to put him first, I know opposition's going to come. But I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyway by the power of the Holy Ghost. So 14 years, Haggai chapter 1. And verse 2, God then speaks after this waiting period. He said, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Verse 3, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed, that means paneled houses, and this house lay waste? So you see what he's saying to them. Hey, is it time for you to build your own house and panel it? You got your yard taken care of. You got your house taken care of. You got your walls the right color. You've got everything the way you want it. You got your pictures hung on the wall. You've taken all these years to get all of the stuff for you taken care of. But take a look over there at the spiritual center of this country, and you'll notice that my house hasn't even been touched for 14 years. Nobody's interested in building the spiritual center, all because you're too worried about everybody's opinion. So you just decided to build your own life and to make your own self satisfied and to build around your desires and to build around what you want. So God is saying, is that what it's time for? For you to take care of yourself and then forget about me? Church, let me ask you today, is it time for us just to do what we want and to fulfill our lusts and our desires, but we won't put God first in our life? Hallelujah. And we just allow our stuff to become the priority. Verse 5, therefore the Lord of hosts said, consider your ways. Now that doesn't have maybe the right connotation in this translation just to say consider your ways. Let me help expand that just a little bit for you. It really means, why don't you take a look at what's happening with you then? Why don't you take a look at what's happening? He said, verse 6, let's just discuss this, God says through the prophet. Ye have sown much. You've planted your fields. You've got a lot of seed in the ground. But look what happens. You bring in little. You're planting, but you're not getting a lot. He said, ye eat, but you have not enough. You're still always a little bit hungry. You drink, but ye are not filled with drink. In other words, you've never been able to satisfy. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them in a bag with holes. You're earning your money, but you're going, wait a minute. When you look in your wallet, you're saying, there must be a hole in this thing. I know there's a hole in the top, but maybe there's a hole in the bottom of this thing. God is saying, why don't you take a good look at what's happening with your life? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 7, consider your ways. Why don't you take a look at what's happening with you? Go ye up to the mountain, God says, and bring wood and build the house. Come on, somebody. 14 years. For a period of time, you've just been doing your thing. But really, take a look at it. I've never, ever met one person that walked away from the call of God. Oh, they might have stuff, but there's still a famine in their life. I've never seen anybody walk away from God and the plan of God. Oh, they might have things, but you'll notice something that they realize that there is something definitely missing. And I'll tell you what it is there's nothing satisfying like there is when you're doing the work of God and the will of God. Anybody who's ever stepped out in faith and put Jesus Christ first knows right now that you are in for miracles in your life. God will bring literally miracles, financial miracles, food miracles into your life, because God will never let you be without if you decide, I'm going to put Jesus Christ first. Hey, come on, somebody, shake yourself. There's no such thing as a self-made man or woman in the church. The only reason we have anything at all is because of the glorious power of God. So in verse 8, God said, bring the wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and it will be glorified, says the Lord. In other words, stop just sitting around. Get to work. Stop sitting around. Get to work. Get into the mountain. Get the wood. Let's get this spiritual center built. Stop sitting around. Go get the wood and let's get this thing built. Verse 9, he said, ye looked for much. You looked for a lot of abundance, didn't you? And lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, what did God say? I did blow upon it. I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts. Because of mine house that is waste. In other words, unfinished. And ye run every man to his own house. Verse 10. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Verse 11. Look at the first couple of words, and I. Does anybody want to shout out who I is here? Who is I? It's in this area of the scriptures, this is God speaking. Now, I want to share with you a beautiful nugget of truth. When you are walking with God and He's first, He's number one, and you're obedient to the leading of God, your opposition will be the devil. Let me say it again. I think this needs repeating. If you are obedient to the leading of the Holy Ghost, if you're obedient to the leading of God and you're doing the will of God, your opposition will be the devil. And secondarily, we can say that it'll be your flesh. That you got to keep it under subjection. But here's the nugget of truth. If you walk away from the leading of God, if you become resistant, and don't put God first, then your first opposition, your opponent, will be God. So if you're disobedient to God, stop blaming the devil for your problems. Don't blame the devil for your problems if you're disobedient. Because who's on your case is going to be God himself. It's a principle a lot of folks never get. Well, the devil's been after me all week. No, no, sister, you're disobedient. It's God that's breathing down your neck. Verse 11, God said, I'm the one that called for a drought upon the land. I'm the one that did it and upon the mountains. He said, I did it upon the corn, and I brought the drought upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon the men and upon the cattle and upon all the labor of your hands. God says, I'm the one that's making this not work out. I'm the one that's causing things to fall down. I'm the one that's causing the drought and the problems. Somebody said, well, that doesn't sound like my God. Oh, yes, it does. When you can get yourself away from all the false preachers and the false doctrines of prosperity that just tell you it doesn't matter what you do, God will bless you if you send your 10,000 to me. Well, that's a bunch of stupidity, folks. Here's what you do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then I'll tell you what, he'll add to you. And there is no devil big enough. There is no devil. You can get enough devils to come against this church. There are not enough devils that can stop the forward progress of this church if we'll just keep doing what we're supposed to be doing and follow the leading of God's Spirit. Will there be giants? Yes, there'll be giants. Will there be problems? Yes, there'll be problems. When's the last time that you were able to stand up in the middle of a great storm when you're serving God and realize, hey, I'm just going to keep praising God today? Somebody here today, please hear what the preacher's saying. I'm trying to help you understand what Jesus told me to say to you. You've got to get off of your backside today. You're going to have to go spiritually, put yourself together. You're going to go have to spend the time, whatever the time it is, to build, so to speak, the temple. In other words, you need to get your spiritual life in order first before you get any other thing together. And if the opposition comes, just keep walking. Because you don't want God to blow on you. You don't want God to bring the drought. Verse 12, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people. Look what it says. I love this. They obeyed. What did they obey? The voice of the Lord their God. Wait a minute. What does it say? And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Another concept that's gone for a lot of people. Matter of fact, even in churches today, they keep trying to teach us that the fear of the Lord doesn't mean, They're trying to teach us today that the fear of the Lord is, you're just supposed to respect him. No, F-E-A-R, if you study it, I dare you to study it. You know what it means? Somebody says, you don't have to fear the Lord. That's a bunch of nonsense. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not the tail end of it. You don't even get anywhere with God unless you recognize, if I don't live right, if I don't become obedient in my life, one of these days, he's going to whirl on this world, and he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. and to be thrown into an everlasting fire. Hey, that's not my words. It's not my agenda. That's the words of the Word. Brothers and sisters and friends, we better stand here today in the fear of the Lord, because God can make it pretty miserable if we're disobedient. It's time for somebody to get up. It's time for somebody to get up. Now let me read to you the end. Go to that second chapter now. And I want to show you something. Verse 18. This is the second chapter of Haggai. In verse number 18. Very interesting. The King James Version here is what I'll read from. But it would behoove you to read it in a few more translations to get pull a little bit more understanding out. I will explain it the best I can to bring forth understanding. Haggai chapter 2. So you know what happened. We just read it back in chapter 1, that the word of God penetrated those people and they said, okay, let's work. And they started the process of getting the temple built. They decided to go ahead and put their cares aside and put God first and getting the spiritual center taken care of first. Is there anybody here today under the sound of this preacher's voice that you are struggling with the very message that I'm giving you today? You have worked yourself back. You have sat down and you decided, I just can't do that 100% for God's stuff. I just can't do it, because every time I try to get up and do the will of God, it feels like everything breaks loose. That's part of it, and that's the way it'll always be, because God wants to know who are His people of faith, who are His people of confidence. Can they serve me when everything breaks out? And the answer is always yes. The greatest moves of God I've ever seen in my own life were always born out of great opposition. It's because that was when I was the most committed. And when you're the most committed is when you get the most problems. But that's when God shows Himself mighty. That's when God shows Himself strong. That's when God shows His strength when you don't have strength. That's when God speaks wisdom when you don't have the wisdom to speak. That's when God shows it when you have nothing but trust and faith in Him. So after they decided to work, I want you to see this. Now they're building the temple. Verse number 18 of chapter 2. Consider now this day and upward. In other words, this day on. From the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. In other words, what he's saying, this actual date, you can mark it on the calendar that you guys started building. You guys started building, and I want you to see something. Is, verse 19, is the seed yet in the barn? In other words, is there seed in the barn? It's not in the field, it's in the barn. Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate, all these vines and trees, and the olive tree, look at this, have not brought forth. Now I want you to get it. The seed is in the barn. When the seed is in the barn, that means it's not going to germinate there. It's just being stored until a later time. The seed that's in the barn is from the previous year's harvest. The seed that's in the barn is from the previous year. And the previous year's harvest was cursed. The previous year's harvest was cursed because you didn't put me first. And that cursed seed is in the barn that you're going to put in the field. And he said, check out all your trees. All your trees, the fig tree, the vines, the pomegranate tree, the olive tree. They're not ready to put forth blooms, and they're not ready to put forth their fruit. All of these trees were cursed. Your seed in your very barn has a curse on it. But then he's saying, but consider that from this day onward, mark the day on the calendar, the 24th day of this ninth month. I want you to think about it. Look at the colon in verse 19. None of this stuff, your seed or your trees, haven't brought forth anything. But notice the colon, then everything changes. From this day, I will bless you. So somebody might say, well, brother, I know I've disappointed God. I realize that now. I realize that he's messing with me to try to get my attention. I get that. But it seems like I'm just living on all this cursed stuff. No, go get the wood and build the house. In other words, go ahead and make your step of faith and say, God, I'm going to put you first. And then you know what happens? You can mark a day on the calendar. Boom! The seed in that barn is now all of a sudden blessed seed. And those trees that didn't bear very well, boom! All of a sudden, they're blessed. Hey, that's what God can do with every last one of us. If we'll put God first, if we put God first, bam, he will add to us exactly what we have need of. Is there somebody in this building as we all stand across this building today? Is there somebody in this building today that you said, yes, preacher, you've talked to me, God, you've tried to get through to me? I want to explain something to you that's very important. There are times within just a few seconds somebody's life can be changed. I believe today if somebody will in this building say, God, I'm sorry for not putting you first in my life. And they'll start to reach out to God and say, Lord, I'm going to put you first. Not so I can get a blessing. I'm going to put you first because it's the right thing to do. And I know you're going to take care of me. I know you're going to give me the right job. I know you're going to give me the right house. I know you're going to give me the right car. All I have to do is trust you and put you first in my life and become obedient. I want to challenge somebody today. You've been sitting around long enough. Ma'am, you've been sitting around long enough. Sir, you've just been sitting around long enough. Why don't you make your way down to the front of this building today and say, Lord, would you forgive me? And I want to ignite the fire that you put inside of me years ago. God, I want to serve you. There are some husbands and wives right now that need to make a pact together, grab their hand and say, honey, let's go pray today. Honey, let's go pray today. Raise your hands up together and say, Lord God,